Blog Talk Radio.
Off. And you know, David, it feels good to be back on the air, but most importantly, I'm happy to be on the air with my very, 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 very special guest. I call him an angel in human form. His name is David Octavio Gandel. And I got to tell you how I met this gentleman. You know, all of you know that I'm into wellness and fitness and bodybuilding, you name it, I'm into it. Because I believe you got to take care of your body, your mind, your spirit, and your soul. And one day, this past summer, I actually attended a bodybuilding competition, and my personal trainer said, Carolyn, I want you to hand out trophies. And I'm all excited, like, oh, I'm going to go there and hand out trophies. Once I got there, I was all dressed up. I went behind stage, and nobody knows how I got back there, but God opened up the pearly gates of the security for me to get back there because everyone wondered, how did you get back behind stage? Where's your ID? Where's your pass? But God was my ID and my pass. And I said, I'm here to pass out trophies. They said, well, who are you? I'm Carolyn A. Brent. Well, who's Carolyn A. Brent? And I'm going like, you guys don't know me. I was told to come here. And they said, sorry, we have all of our models or presenters that's going to be presenting, but just give us your card and we will, you know, take care of you later. And I thought, this is weird. Why would my trainer tell me to come and these people don't even know who I am? So what I did, of course, I used every opportunity as a photo op because I had on a brand new dress from a lady named Barbara that I had met. What is Barbara's
name? Intrigue Couture. From Intrigue Couture.
Yeah, Intrigue.
Portland. Barbara Portland.
Yeah, Barbara Portland. I met her, and she provided me a really beautiful dress to wear. I said, oh, please take a picture of me. So I took my photo off and took my beautiful self back home wondering, oh, what happened? Why was I there? But God is a God. There's no mistake. Because not even 24 hours later, this guy named David comes calling me on my telephone. I had no idea who he was. And he called, and he said, Carolyn, I'm David. I'm one of the producers. And by the way, David not only is a producer, he is an American published author as far as, you know, he doesn't have a book yet, but he has published products out there.
Articles.
He's writing a book as we speak. He has a book deal, and I'm so proud of that. He is a philanthropist. He gives a lot of things away. He's always producing just productivity. Matter of fact, he's producing first time this show. He's producing the Cross All Ages, and I've never had it produced. And I've been on the air for 8 years, and I've never been on live TV. Thank you, David. But David, he called and said, "You don't know me, but I'm the producer, and I apologize that I didn't know who you are." And I thought, well, this is weird. Why is this guy apologizing to me? Because nobody knew who I was. And he said, I want to get to know you. There's something about you, Carolyn A. Brent. I want to get to know you. And then once David and I, we tried to get together for a long time, and our schedules are very hectic. once he sent me his information, and he is a cancer survivor twice, not once, but twice. He had a rare cancer where the doctors gave up hope on him. Everybody gave up hope. But he looked at the doctors and said, I'm going to live. The name of this show, David, what is the name of this show? I'm just getting so excited. Without hope, it's impossible to have faith or purpose. And, you know, with David, when he talked about he had hope and he refused to die, I thought about myself. Because at one time in my life, I gave up hope. I thought, this world's coming to an end because my daddy was snatched away from me after being a caregiver for him for 12 years. Imagine what it feels like when you are a caregiver and you're working full-time and you're doing all these 50 million things, and then all of a sudden you don't see your parent anymore or your parent doesn't see you. And then when you do hear about him, it's like, oh, by the way, he died 2 weeks ago and he's buried. Now, David, I lost all my hope. And my father's spirit said, Carolyn, you know I'm a pastor. You know I taught you better than this. You cannot give up hope. So guess what I did? I started writing the first book, Why Wait. Then I wrote the second book, The Caregiver's Companion, and Harlequin Books came knocking at my door instead of me trying to beg someone, can you publish my book? And it made me realize God had a purpose in my life.
Through your testimony.
Through my testimony. So when I heard your testimony, David, I'm getting just teary-eyed thinking about it. It moved my soul. And then when I saw you on Steve Harvey, and I saw that Steve Harvey was crying. You brought tears to the man's eyes. He remembered that if it wasn't for
grace.
God and wasn't for grace, he would not be where he is right now. And Steve Harvey, look at his background. It was pretty shaky. He lost jobs. He's been homeless, you name it. But he continued to have faith and hope, which gave him his purpose.
Amen. Well, and his wife, you know, his wife was the rock and, you know, told him that, you know, you had it already. If God gave it to you once, why wouldn't he give it to you again? We just have to go one step at a time. And that's the little seed of hope that people, you know, when you become hopeless, you're broken.
Absolutely.
And some people don't come back from that.
Absolutely.
That's the hard part. If you don't come back from that, you know, you never get to see what God's promise for your life was.
Well, David, you know, none of you have probably in my platform, you probably haven't heard of David. But I want David to share his testimony because it's going to touch somebody. If you have given up hope, let's say that I've named this show Across All Ages. I named it because a lady by the name of Angela James, she came into my life for 17 years ago. I've only seen her once in my life. But we are best friends. She's my prayer warrior. And she was the one that said, you can't give up hope. And then one day, ABC called and said, do you mind doing a show for us? Mm-hmm. And I thought, really? Are you talking to me? And they said, yes. What do you want to name it? So I call Angela. Angela said, Carolyn, you should name it Across All Ages. Because what you have to say, it affects every walk of life. And what you have to say, David, because you're a young man. You're 20 years younger than me or 21 years younger than me. Everyone, I'm 60 years old and proud. So David is 41. So there's a 20-year gap. But we both have a testimony that you can't give up hope. So David, without further ado, you know, I was just going off.
Well, what's funny about it is, you know, how we met, Barbara had Caroline's business card. And she gave it to me, and she said, listen, you have to call this lady, Carolyn. You have to call her. And she expected to come to the show and present a trophy. And usually when I produce the show, I have my trophy presenters weeks ahead. They get dressed up by Intrigue Couture. That's their sponsor, and that's my sponsor, Barbara. And long story short, you know, I just felt I was finally getting home to rest. I usually stay in Boca Raton area for about a week, to produce a show and do everything with the promoter. And long story short, I'm like, I have to call this lady. Before I get to my house from this long trip back to South Beach, I'm literally calling her and said, I just need to apologize because everybody loved you, everybody felt you, and I wasn't able to meet you.
Mm-hmm.
And I apologize because someone had told her that it was okay for her to come present a trophy, but no one had told me. And in the middle of the show, if anybody does a live show, I don't change too many things unless I really, really have to.
Right.
So, you know, you kind of, because it's a long, long show. It's a whole process. And so at the end of the day, I was apologetic because I felt I had to meet her, and she was told something. It didn't come to pass. And I was really embarrassed because I don't like people using anything that I do and not be able to fulfill what they thought they were supposed to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, because I've been in that position before. So I called her, apologized, and we had this amazing, amazing talk. And then I think I was leaving out of the country. I think I was flying out to Europe.
Yeah.
So I didn't speak to her for a few weeks, but she was able to go through my the videos and YouTube and articles and things like that. And then we talked again. And in November, I had another show, and I was able to bring her in, and she was the presenter for the pro over 50 division, and she presented the trophy to the winner. And I thought that was so perfectly, you know, planned by God in a way where we got to know each other.
Yeah.
We got to talk. We got to speak. We got to share each other's testimonies.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always say to people that your testimony will lead you to your purpose.
Absolutely.
And everybody, it could go both ways. Your testimony can break you down. And if you don't have any hope, you don't go any forward. You don't keep going forward.
Yeah.
So to me, I had written this. I was speaking at church one time, and I spoke about how do you have faith if there's no hope. And it was really the sermon was really about faith. Period. It was just about keep having faith, keep having faith, keep having faith. And God's just like, wait, hold on. How do you get to faith without the hope? So I went through the scripture, and it talks about, you know, things hoped for.
Yeah. Yeah.
Things not seen.
Yeah.
And it was about, okay, so if I don't even hope for it, I can't have the faith.
Yeah.
So the Bible basically, the scripture kind of described it to me in a way where I hadn't really looked at that verse the same way.
Yeah.
I always looked at it as a verse of faith and believe and be a believer and be a believer that, you know, through faith you can do all things.
Yeah.
But hope was first.
Yeah.
You can't cross the finish line, Carolyn, if you can't start the race.
Absolutely.
So when people tell me all the time, I'm like, well, I can't do that. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You can't because you haven't started the process.
Right, right.
And you went through that process, the mourning process, and you went through the, you know, the whole of missing your father, missing your dad, missing your spiritual advisor, missing all those things. And then you get to the point where, wait, hold on. He's not here anymore, but yet he is.
Yes.
There's something you said to us. We did a radio show with Jackie Bessio. Jackie, we love you. And you spoke about the sand, the pebbles.
Yeah.
Just the quick version of that, because people need, if you get this, you might not get this now, you might get this tonight, you might get this tomorrow.
Yeah.
But if you get this parable, the way your father spoke it, share that with us.
Well, I'd like to share with you. I was 18 years old at the time. Remember, across all ages, we are never too young to talk about end of life, ever too young. But people think, let's have this crucial conversation when I'm 90 and put my paperwork in place. Don't wait. So here it is. I'm 18 years old. I moved from Denver, Colorado to Los Angeles, and Dad, he used to come and visit me every March during his birthday. Mm-hmm. And in Colorado in March, it is cold, cold, cold. But in California, the sun is shining.
Yes.
At least back then it was shining. I don't know about now. But it was on a Wednesday afternoon, David. I remember as though it were yesterday, Dad and I were walking along the beach, and nobody was out because it was like 66 degrees. Dad and I, we thought it was a heat wave. The California folks thought it was like a blizzard going through. So we were the only two on the beach. So Dad and I sat there, and I'm just like really just excited because I'm with my daddy. And Dad, being a pastor, he always will use anything to share a story. And I thought, oh boy, here comes another testimony or something about church. But Dad talked about a pelican. He said, Carolyn, do you see that pelican over there? And I said, yes, Dad, that's a beautiful pelican. Dad said, imagine if God gave that pelican only one job to do. And that is to get a grain of sand, putting it in its pouch, and fly all the way up to the moon and drop off that grain of sand. And the pelican is supposed to do that job one grain at a time until there's no more sand left on the face of the earth. Now, when Dad asked me, Carolyn, how long will that take? I thought Dad was crazy to ask me that question because I said, Dad, the pelican can never finish that job.
Right.
And he looked me directly in my eyes. He said, Carolyn, one day I'm not going to be with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going like, what do you mean you're not going to be with me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, God's going to call me home to glory.
Correct.
And when God calls me home to glory, I want you to think about how long it takes the pelican to remove all the sand off the face of the earth one grain at a time. And that's how long my love will be with you.
Amen.
Now, that was my hope.
Yes.
Because at the time when I was 18 years old, I don't want to talk about that. You're going to live forever. So Dad and I had an amazing relationship for over the next 35, 40 years. And one day, I had to remember that story.
You know, to me, it just reminded me of unconditional love. It's a job that, you know, the pelican, he might never even get to the moon. But the biggest thing for me was unconditional love. And the one thing that we need, the one thing that we crave is love.
Yeah.
And the loneliness is the one thing that breaks us half the time.
Yeah.
So when you're in a bad place in your life or you're going through something in life and you just go through it alone, I promise you that if you allow God to come in and try to help you through this process, he will bring people like Carolyn, like myself, or anyone else that has gone through something in their life so you could trust them with what you're going through so we can help you go through it.
Right.
See, I didn't go through cancer just to go through cancer.
Right.
She didn't go through her testimony just for that.
Right.
We went through it to be a blessing to others.
Absolutely.
So I always believe that if you're in my life, if you came across my path, if I'm praying for you, if I'm reaching out to you, trust me, there's a purpose. And one thing I say always to myself, Carolyn, is if when I look at every single person, a client, a friend, an acquaintance, a brother, sister in Christ, anyone that comes in my life, I always say it to myself, have I ever said or done anything to them that comes out as a negative? In other words, is there anything that I will ever say to someone that is to hurt them or
right.
to affect their lives in a negative way?
Right.
And I've always said this, and I started literally thinking about each person. I said, think about everything that I've shared with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's always about pushing you towards your best.
Right.
It's always to find out your potential. It's always finding out what your gifts and your talents are to get to that other side.
Yeah.
It's always literally, and I push. But you have to try to understand where I come from, and I know you probably can't because you didn't go through what I went through, just like I can't understand your situation. I live every day like it's my last.
Yeah, me too.
So I live today, and today I'm going to do all I can.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow morning.
Right.
I don't know what's going to happen. And I really do. And people say, well, didn't you plan? Yeah.
Yeah.
I have plans that God gives me, and I believe in those dreams and those plans.
Right.
But I live my day to the point of like 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. If I still have someone I need to pray for, I will. Now, I might not get the result that day. But then a year goes by. 2 years go by. 3 years go by.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I get a phone call. I get a text.
Yeah.
Or I see a young lady at church giving her testimony and saying, David never gave up on me.
Yeah.
And that's how God confirms it. And anyone that ever is in my life, truly think about what I have done or said. Because one thing I always do is I do it with love. And I always make sure that I let you know that you are unique, you're wonderful, you're amazing, you're supposed to do something with your life. And if you allow anything or any circumstance or anyone else to control that life and control that joy, guess what, Carolyn? You're not living your life.
Oh, absolutely. Well, a lot of people really think about this, and I see this on a daily basis. Every morning I wake up and I see that sun. I'm like a little kid. The sun is shining, and then I see the beautiful bellowing clouds in the sky. It's those little things. And then the beach right down the street,
yes.
I take full advantage. I'm going, you mean I could walk to the beach, to the ocean?
Yes.
Dear God, thank you. Praise the Lord. Thank you. And you know I get fed all the time I go to the ocean
mm-hmm.
because I remember.
That's why I live in South Beach.
Oh, absolutely. So, David, I have a question
sure.
for you, and I'm looking at the time of wisdom. Those of you who want to call in, I'm afraid I won't be able to take any phone calls today because I'm having the show in a different room, and another computer is actually showing your phone call. So I will not be accepting phone calls, but please listen in. And I will talk to you later about what your thoughts are about the show. But, David, could you walk us through?
Sure.
Because when I see the pictures of you, when you weighed about 95 pounds or whatever it was.
124. Yeah.
Oh, if you look like you were 95
yeah,
pounds.
Probably were.
124. And the doctors gave up hope on you. Could you give someone
sure.
hope out there that's
sure.
going through that right there?
Well, you know, I started, you know, 29 years old. I was someone that was in a pretty good, in a very good place. I mean, I ran businesses, and I was in charge of a lot of employees. I had a lot of clients in my life as a trainer, celebrity trainer, personal trainer. And, you know, I was kind of doing me,
yeah.
doing my life.
Yeah.
I believed in God. I believed in Christ. My family raised me in church, so I was very blessed. I had a foundation of faith.
Right.
But, you know, I was living my life. You know, to the point that you start thinking, okay, well, you know what? I'm invincible. There's nothing I can do.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, again, I would say God had a plan that had more to do with how each person can change lives.
Right.
Not just being who you are, but when God uses you, it's a totally different story. And so I got cancer. At 29 years old, I thought everything was perfect. I found the lump. It took me 6-7 months to get to the hospital. When I finally went to the hospital, the next after my doctor took my case, gave it to a urologist. The urologist immediately said, "You have cancer." Immediately scheduled surgery within 3 days. It was Friday the 13th, 2004,
wow.
August, and then in August 16th of 2004. The tumor was taken out. Now, the tumor at the time was encapsulated.
Mm-hmm.
They did all the exams. They did everything. They couldn't find anything else that was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, somehow I had visions of being bald. I had visions of being skinny. I had visions of going through pain.
Mm.
And I always say to people, God will allow certain visions, certain dreams to come into your life to show you your outcome.
Wow.
But the good thing about that outcome is those 2 years, that first year, the why always comes up.
Yeah.
It's realistic.
Right.
I can't tell someone that, yeah, you're never going to ask why something happened.
Right.
Not all the time is the why going to be answered, though.
Right.
And that's the thing. If you live to try to answer something that's not supposed to be answered in a specific amount of time, you would drive yourself crazy. You'd never get there.
Wow.
So what God did for me is he just gave me enough for me to keep going.
Mm.
And that's what I call hope.
Wow.
He gave me just enough. So he showed me the pictures of me being bald. I had long hair. Anybody that knows me, I had long hair since I was a teenager. College, I grew my hair. I never cut it. I wouldn't cut it for anybody.
Mm.
And on August 2006, I was re-diagnosed with cancer. And at that moment, they said, there's nothing we can do.
Wow.
So I did holistic treatment. I did vitamins. I did injections of vitamin C. I did all this holistic stuff. My diet was as clean as you can get it.
Yeah.
Nothing worked.
Wow.
But I asked God to give me the summer.
Give
he was
the...
like, what do you mean? I asked God to give me a summer. But you know why? I had plans for the summer.
Oh, okay.
I had a girl that was competing at my show. I was hosting Fitness Universe in 2006 in June. My cousin, my baby cousin, I love her to death. She's like my sister. She was getting married in June of 2006. And I had to be in Puerto Rico for the wedding. I was there. I had cancer.
Wow.
But I was there.
Wow.
I hosted the show with cancer, but I was there.
Wow.
My birthday came up July 18th, and then I went to see Mark Anthony, one of my favorite singers. I had cancer. I got up for one song, the last song, and I danced to the last song because I was in so much pain through the concert.
Wow.
And in August, the first week of August, I had a fashion show that I'm supposed to be in, that I'm supposed to model on stage to do a runway show.
Yes.
And I did it.
Wow.
And my girlfriend at the time went with me to Orlando, and I did the show. It was the first week of August. And I said to her I would go to the doctor when I came back. I did the show. My stomach was distended already. The cancer was already covering. I didn't know that yet because I didn't go to the PET scan until 2 days later.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked the runway like it was like I was fine.
Wow.
The pain came when I walked off the runway.
Wow.
And I have pictures to prove it. I have witnesses. And it was the event was one of the largest fashion shows, bridal fashion shows in Orlando. That was done every year. It was televised. And I walked the runway, and I told a couple of producers, AJ Gonzalez is one of my family,
mm-hmm.
and Jose, and I told them, listen, I hope that you save a spot for me because I'll be back.
Wow.
And I did. I did the show that Sunday. Tuesday, I'm in Boca seeing my oncologist. Immediately, he calls me back after I leave the office and says, you need to go to the emergency room. And I said, okay. I went. And when I went to the emergency room in Boca Raton, Florida, they said, your organs are covered from your pelvic region to your chest, totally covered. We don't even know how you're still breathing. So from Tuesday to Friday, all my oncologist did was make phone calls, faxes at the time. This is 2006.
Mm-hmm.
They're still faxing.
Yeah.
Faxing. All kinds of stuff was going on. Emailing, everything. Boston University, Indiana University, Lance Armstrong's doctor, Sloan Kettering, you name it, any other major hospitals in the country, and no one wanted to see me.
Now, why did they not want to see you?
There's nothing for them to do.
Oh, they felt like there was no hope. Wow.
So my oncologist tells me all this stuff. My family's there. My girlfriend at the time was there. We're all there.
Mm-hmm.
Listening to no, 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 no. But see, at no point did God say no.
Yeah.
At no point did he say, I'm calling you.
Yeah.
At no point did I see any lights. At no point did I see anything that's reflected that I was done with this life.
Right.
What I did get is, what if this becomes a miracle story?
Mm-hmm.
What if this is truly God's plan for my life?
Mm-hmm.
What if this is my purpose for me being alive? What if this is the same purpose why my mom went through what she went through, and she's a miracle? My father was told over 20, 30 years ago he wouldn't live, and he's still here at 84 years old. What if all this stuff was already planned? But now what? And that's where people get stuck.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, God shared this with me. He's going to make it happen. He can't do it without you.
Yeah.
That's the part that you play a part in this theater production of your life.
Yeah.
This is your story.
Yeah.
And you play a part in that story. Now, we want to direct the story.
Yeah.
We want to produce the story. We want to write the story.
Yeah.
And then we want to act in it.
Yeah.
And that's a mistake.
Yeah.
God is the director.
Yeah.
God is the producer.
Yeah.
And God is the writer.
And the author and finisher.
Yes.
Amen. I get it.
And for those of you who read the Bible, Alpha and Omega.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay. But, so, I start looking at these dreams and these visions of me with short hair.
Yes.
Now, to you guys, it doesn't mean anything. I have short hair now.
Exactly.
I didn't have short hair since the age of 16, 17, 18
yeah.
to 31 years old when I finally cut my hair, when I shaved my head because all my hair was falling out.
I got you.
And that's when I took that picture. I was 124 pounds. 3 weeks later after that doctor, well, 3 days later after I was in the hospital emergency room, Dr. Benedetto from Sylvester Cancer called and said, let's try something.
Mm.
That's it. It wasn't, I'm going to heal you. It wasn't, I got a cure. It wasn't, no. It was, we're in uncharted waters.
Right.
We don't know what is, we don't know how you're alive.
Yeah.
We don't know how you're still breathing. We don't know how your organs haven't broken down yet. We have no idea. Yet you're dying, yet you're not dying.
Yeah.
In other words, organs are still functioning.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Yeah.
But we'll try something. 14 chemos later, I dropped 57 pounds. I was down to 124 in 3 weeks.
Wow.
And he said, if you live another 5 days, in other words, if you survive, because I already dropped so much weight, most of the time when you drop that much weight, you just keep dropping and you're dead.
Yeah.
So if you come back in 5 days, and I said to him, listen, doc, God's going to heal me, and you are the instrument.
Oh,
and I never gave up that. In other words,
yeah,
that was my hope.
Yeah.
God's going to heal me, and you're the instrument. Now, where do we come in?
Mm.
I come back 5 days later. We start second round. Another 14 chemos, yet this time I gain weight. Third round comes up, another 14 chemos, and I may gain more weight.
Wow.
And then at that moment, I woke up one day and I said, even though I have pain, even though I have everything, why did God put that picture of me on stage with short hair? Why? Why would he do that? To give me hope.
Yes.
The problem is we have to be open.
Yes.
And we have to be obedient.
Yes.
So first pray, second listen, and third be obedient.
Yes.
So we go through the stages of our lives. I'm at that point right now that I could give up. And I say, okay, God, you're certainly doing your part because I'm still here.
Yeah.
I'm still breathing.
Yeah.
The doctors are certainly doing their part because they're continuing the process.
Right, right.
They don't understand it,
right,
but they're continuing the process.
Yeah.
What do I do?
And what did you do?
I prayed.
Oh.
And then through
That's
prayer,
beautiful.
God answered to me and said, go to the gym.
Mm.
I said, okay, well, the gym is my home. I've always, I lived in the gym since I was 18, 19 years old.
Yeah.
Go to the gym. But no. Go to the gym and work out.
Oh.
And then I called Betty. Betty was I called her like another mother because my parents were there through the chemo. They would go back. My mom had to work, thank God. And then I would stay by myself. I wanted to stay alone in my house in prayer. And then Betty would come in. And she was my assistant at the gym, and she basically would come in and start to, help me with breakfast and things like that.
Yeah.
But she always just let me be me.
Yeah.
She wasn't trying to push, so because of that, I allowed her in my life.
Yeah.
But I said to her, you got to go to the gym.
Oh, boy.
Exactly. What? Are you crazy? The chemo's getting to your brain.
Yeah.
Oh, the cancer's getting to your brain.
I said, no.
God told me go to the gym.
Yeah.
I said, what? How did he tell you? I said, I don't know. I didn't know.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like, David, go to the gym. No.
It's like a soft little nudging.
It's just enough that you understand. When spirit is spirit. It's just like you have an intuition, just like you know. But I knew that I had to go to the gym. So I went to the gym after I fought with her because if she wasn't going to take me, I was going to just drive myself. Now, I haven't driven a car in a few months, and I was very weak.
Yeah.
So just to get to my car was a struggle.
Oh, yeah.
Then getting to the gym. But here's what happened. I go to the gym. I work out for 5 minutes. And I'm in pain. And I'm exhausted. And I felt like I was dying. But I was breathing.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat down and started sweating. And all of a sudden, that gave me hope.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, now I'm feeling a different type of pain.
Yeah.
Now starting to feel things that I felt before cancer.
Okay.
And little by little, I look forward to leaving the hospital and going home and getting ready for a week and getting stronger.
Oh.
So then that second week, I could go to the gym.
Yeah.
So I can lift weights.
Yeah.
So I can do a little cardio. So I could do something.
Oh, amen.
So what I had to do was start eating. I started to put 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 calories a day. Even empty calories. It didn't matter because at that moment, I just needed to eat.
Yeah.
It didn't matter what calories there were.
Yeah.
I just had to eat. Now, yeah, I did eat protein.
Mm-hmm.
And at that moment, there was a very, very good friend of mine who had given me a product that was a pre-digestive protein. And I took that throughout. At that time, I started taking it. He brought a box. And then all these friends of mine from the supplement company were bringing me stuff.
Yeah.
But this product wasn't hurting my stomach.
Oh. Okay.
And I always tell, that's the product I'm one day going to make.
Yeah.
Because that product was, is given to dialysis patients or renal patients.
Mm.
And basically what happened was they give it to them because their kidneys are not functioning.
Okay.
And it's pre-digested, so it doesn't hurt your stomach.
Yes.
So I started taking that, and that gave me more strength. And then I could eat more, and then I could do more.
Right, right.
And that's how the story started.
Yes.
So little by little, I was finding hope. Now, here's the cool thing about it. Yes, I was getting results because I was gaining weight through chemo, which was unheard of.
Yes.
My doctor was shocked that I was even able to work out. But here's what God did. See, it wasn't just about me, and it isn't just about you.
Yes.
It's about other people and how you touch their lives and how you become a blessing.
Yes.
So through that little 5 months, I did 98 chemotherapies.
Oh.
But through the 3 months, October, November, through the 3 months, the final 3 months of my fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh chemo, people were asking, when is David coming to the gym?
Wow.
Now, Carolyn, I didn't want anybody to see me.
Yes.
I didn't go to the gym for attention.
Yes.
I went to the gym. I wanted the gym to be empty.
Yes.
I wanted to work out.
Yes.
And I had people there. Of course, my staff was there. But I didn't want anybody there.
Yeah, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, people wanted to come and wanted to see me with my little hoodie. And wanted to see me with my big sweater.
Yeah.
And the smallest pants I had were big on me.
Yeah.
But people wanted to see me.
Yeah.
And what I found out through the years is that those people that were going through stuff were looking at me and saying,
"You were supporting
him. If he's coming, and he looks like a toothpick, and he's lifting weights, and he's going through chemo, and he has cancer, and he's still lifting weights, and he's still coming to the gym, what the heck is my excuse?"
Whew, that's pretty heavy. That's heavy.
So then I start seeing hope in a different way.
Yes.
It wasn't about me anymore.
Yeah.
It was about me being that instrument for other people to find hope.
Yes.
You might not like me. You might not like my personality. You might just say, "Hey, David's just too much for me." That's fine. But it doesn't matter. That part I'm okay with.
Yeah.
Because that's my gift.
Yeah.
I'm going to be positive and I'm going to be a life changer. No matter what you think about what I do or how I do it.
Yeah.
If you really look at who I really truly am and you get the time to get to know me,
yes,
everything that I want to do is be a blessing.
Oh, amen. Amen.
And give people hope.
Amen.
Because if you get that seed of hope, then you can start dreaming again.
Yes.
Then you can start thinking more. Then you can go and say, "Okay, you know what? I have a passion for animals. I have a passion for cancer victims. I have a passion for burn victims. I have a passion for ministry. I have a passion for couple counseling. I have a passion for abused women.
Right.
I have a passion for women that have had an abortion. And I have a passion for anything, drugs and addiction. I want to help people that have gone through that." You find your passion.
Yeah, you find it. That's where people ask me the question, how do I find passion? But you just answered it. They got to have hope. In order to have faith, and God will give you your purpose, and your purpose will become your passion.
Correct.
What's
the title of my book?
Hope.
No. That's the subtitle.
You got to tell
Cancer
me.
Was a blessing. Remember, I said that to you, you paused.
Yes.
And we have the same literary agent. And when I spoke to my literary agent the first time, I said, "What's the title of your book?" I said, "Cancer Was a Blessing." People don't like that title.
Yeah.
Some people don't. Some people get it. If you've gone through something in life, you get it. But if you haven't gone through anything in life, you don't understand it. It's not that I wish cancer on anybody. And it wasn't that I wish that I went through cancer. But my life would have been a good life. I was doing a lot with the gyms, with the health clubs. I was doing a lot with my clients.
Right.
Absolutely. But I found my purpose through cancer.
Right.
That is the definition of the blessing.
Yes.
Because there's no title that you can give me that is more important to me than being a survivor.
Right.
And surviving terminal cancer, meaning there's still no cure for the type of cancer I have. I'm a case study in the medical world.
Yeah.
They still don't. They're dumbfounded every time they see me.
Yeah.
Now.
And now look at how healthy this guy was. I mean, this is the blessing, and you are amazing because looking at you, that's why you can never judge a book by its cover. And people that want to be envious of someone's success,
yes.
You don't know what that person's been through. I mean, that's why I wanted David on my show. I've been asking David, I guess since October, David, you got to get on my show. You got to share. Because although I haven't seen, I never went to my father's grave.
We will.
Yeah, we will do it. Because the Spirit said, do not go to his gravesite until the laws are changed. So guess what?
You changed
the laws. That's my hope.
Yes.
And that's my passion. And that's my mission. And that is why this work up here, this body of work, that's why it exists. I never wrote a book in my life 10 years ago. And now one is in the Library of Congress. That's a big deal because every book don't go into the Library of Congress.
Nope.
And then a couple yesterday, I checked my ranking on, because I'm a little nosy, I just want to know. I was 56 on the bestsellers list.
Amen.
It's the top 100, and there's millions of books on Amazon.
Correct.
So to be at the top, I'm at 56, and it's a three-year-old book,
yes.
And I'm working on my seventh
yes.
book.
Amen.
But I just have to tell you, when I see you, you give me inspiration. You just talking to you, I always get excited, and then I got to really hold on tight when I talk to David, because David may have five subjects in 1 minute, and guess what? I could keep up with you, because I'm the same way, because there's so much that I have inside of me that I want to share with people,
Amen.
The excitement.
That's the same way I am. I want to share everything I can, and again, it goes back to where I am now, where today is my last day. I don't live tomorrow. I don't live Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. I live today. Today's Friday. I'm living today.
Yes.
And, you know, today I have a whole day lined up, and I'm going to do all of it.
Right.
You know, unless God changes my plan and puts somebody else in my life.
Right.
You know, but that's the difference. That's why I'm the way I am, because if I have 1 minute of your time, I want to, and here's the thing, you might not get it, and I get it. You might say, okay, what's David trying to talk about? But I planted a seed.
Amen.
That's all I need to do. I planted that seed. So if I tell you five, six different things, all I'm praying is that at one point in your life, when you're going through something, you remember
yes.
those words.
Yes.
And I always say, God is the one that directs my steps.
Yes.
I pray every morning, God, bring people into my life that
yes.
I might be a blessing upon their life.
Yes.
God, use me. I'm your instrument.
Yes.
And, of course, thank you, God, for healing me.
Yes.
And thank you, God, for believing that I would be doing what I'm doing now.
Yes.
I made a promise that day, August 25th, 2006. I made a promise. I pointed out to God. I took this picture.
Yes.
And I said, I will give your story if you heal me.
Yes. And God told you.
And on February 1st, I had surgery. February 1st, 2007, 10 years ago. I had a 12-hour surgery. Wasn't supposed to survive that one. I still remember the doctor telling me, this is what could go wrong, this is what could go wrong, this is what could go wrong, you could do this, you could do that, through the surgery.
Yeah.
You know, and I said to him, how about this? How about you say, you could die?
Yeah.
Because I already heard that for over a year. So just give me the ultimate sacrifice. This is the ultimate thing. I'm going to die. Okay, so say that. Don't tell me, but the doctor has to tell me every little thing, what can happen in the surgery. And we all go through that.
Now, David, you know what I wanted to share with you? I think it's really a blessing. 10 years ago was when my father had his sudden and unexpected emergency where I rushed him to the hospital, and the doctor told me, oh, you have two choices. We could pull your father's shunt. You'd have to read my book in order to understand what I'm talking about. Pull the shunt, and that's a tubing in the skull that was stopping the hydrocephalus, which is water on the brain, or if we don't pull it, he's going to die. I said, well, I don't want my dad to die.
Right.
And then I said, well, what's going to happen to dad when he lives? He will be a vegetable. So which one do you want, us to pull the tubing so he doesn't die, or if he lives, he'll be a vegetable? Now, that's pretty heavy stuff. That was 10 years ago. And it's very interesting. That's why I know the blessing's coming this year, 10 years later. I meet David. David and I are on my show, his show. There's all kind of stuff going on right now. We're on YouTube.
Yes, we're going to be on YouTube, FaceTime right now, Facebook. How
this
you guys doing?
Live.
I love you guys. And and you know, and you can come back and watch it later. I know everybody's at lunch or at work right now. But Across All Ages is live right now, so it's going to be on.
Yeah.
And but the biggest thing I think is always, you know, understand that you do have a meaning.
Yeah.
There is a reason why you're here, and I hope, my hope is that you find hope in what you're doing with your life, in terms of if it's through doing something bad, you find that you're supposed to be doing something better. If you're doing something good, then you find out you're still supposed to be doing something better.
And you know what? I want to touch on something because of the climate of where and the time of where we're living. A lot of people are walking around afraid.
Yes.
Because they don't know, well, how am I going to, the government's not going to take care of me. They're going to take my health care insurance or the government. I will just share with everyone, take the initiative and take care of yourself. I always say that. Families need to hone together and take care of each other. We've got to start really thinking about what are you putting in your body. If you have control of what you're putting in your body, I'm not going to say that's going to cure or prevent anything, but it may help you if you try. Because once again, I toot my horn that I live to be 60 years old.
And you competed, and you won. And you keep training.
Yes.
And you listen to your trainer.
Yes, I do.
I wish more people listen to trainers.
Yeah.
But you know, to piggyback from that, I wanted to go back to the it just kept coming back about being the director and the producer. You know, people say, "Oh, the world's a stage," and blah blah blah. But here's the thing: it took me to pray to see God's plan and to kind of go through the story, but I still have to make the choice to get in the theater, to get in on stage and say, okay, this is my part.
Yeah.
And if I play my part right, now, this is no ad lib.
Yeah.
This is not like when I'm hosting a show and I got to go,
No.
When I am following what God is trying to share with me
mm-hmm.
and bringing people into my life and me becoming an instrument or becoming a vessel in their life to be a blessing, I have to follow script.
Yeah.
And when you follow the script, you see the outcome. You see the happy ending in the movie. You see all that, those great things.
Yeah.
And but I share that with you because a few years ago, I wanted, you know, my whole life, the people that really know me, they know that even though I had a career in managing health clubs and being a partner and things like that, I still dabbled in acting and modeling and all that stuff
mm-hmm.
throughout my whole career. And I love the stage. And a few years ago, I was picked to be in a play. It was called a Christian play called You're Never Alone. And I remember being picked. I didn't have to audition for the play. Henry Fernandez picked me for the play. He directed this amazing play called You're Never Alone. And you can literally take one of those characters and be and relate to them.
Yeah.
But what's interesting about it is that I get the audition, but the next week, I believe, I spoke at the Faith Center in Fort Lauderdale in front of 5,000 people, and I prayed. And I was already getting started for the play, and we rehearsed. And then one day, Henry Fernandez comes up and says, "Listen, we're going to have to cast up your normal long. They're coming in before the play." Or, I mean, I think we already had done the play one time, and we came up. And I'm backstage. And I have my mic on, and I'm putting it on, making sure that it's on, you know, plugging it in the box, make sure it's on.
Yeah.
And all the production part of it, and everybody's talking about us. We're all in line because he's going to say our name. We're going to come out.
Right.
And right before I say our name, I look at where I was. And I said, wait, hold on.
Yeah.
I'm backstage.
Right.
I'm in a play.
Yeah.
Call You Never Alone.
Yeah.
And they're going to introduce me as one of the characters in the play.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, and I know to a lot of you, it's like, oh, what's he talking about? Well, follow me here. I'm backstage doing something that just a few years prior, I was not supposed to even be alive.
Oh, that's pretty heavy.
And yet, God always had called me to the stage. I knew that when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And acting in movies and stuff is great, but acting in theater, there's nothing like it.
Mm.
You have one opportunity. You're live, just like we are now, right now on FaceTime, Facebook Live. So the nervousness comes in, the anxiety comes in, you start thinking, okay, blah, 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 before you go out, right?
Yes.
But so right before I opened that door and they say my name,
yes,
I felt this overwhelming sensation, and I'm already like broken in a good way.
Yes.
Like God is like, he just,
awesome.
Almost like, just like water just coming down on you in a waterfall.
Yeah.
You know, just get on the waterfall, it just pours down on you.
Yes.
And I start getting emotional right before I even get my name out. I'm already emotional because I'm saying, God, you healed me.
Yes.
But here's the other part. God, you promised me that I would be on stage. And today, I am.
Yes.
Oh, and that dream just became a reality.
Yes.
Now, it took 30-some years of my life. But I'm saying, like, that dream became a reality. And so I say that to everybody today because your dream, it might be around the corner.
Yes.
Your dream might be a year away. Your dream is still your dream.
Yes.
And I always say God didn't put a dream inside of you if it's not meant to happen.
Right. Yes.
But if you give up on it, it's no one's fault.
Yes.
It's not your boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, coworker, employer, employee, father, mother. No. Don't blame somebody else for the choices you make today.
Yes.
I hope you get that on your way home.
Oh,
seriously.
I got it.
Don't blame anybody.
Yeah.
Take that ownership that God gave you this life. God gave you this talent. Look at yourself. When I do life coaching, Carolyn, it's like all I'm doing is listening to someone, but I just pray that they're listening to their own self.
Yeah.
So they see all the mistakes that they're making. So they see all the good things that they're making and see that when they're doing good things are happening.
Yeah.
When they're literally going after the dream, doors are opening.
Yeah.
But when it becomes too hard, they close it again.
I find the more I give to others,
yes,
it's the more God pours out the blessings on me. Because I believe that there's human angels. I do. I do believe there's human angels. And the human angels that got my book in the Library of Congress, I don't know who these people are. I don't know how my book got into universities across the nation.
Yes.
A human angel did it.
Amen.
Somebody believed enough. And also, this is my human angel here. He's been, trying to get me on Steve Harvey. Steve Harvey, I will be on your show. I believe it. I believe so much, and I believe I will go to my father's gravesite this year because
the laws are going to change.
Because 30 lobbyists. I was speaking in California earlier this month.
Yes.
They said, Carolyn, send us your proposal. We're going to make sure it happens. So I'm working on that. And I have to say, Angela James, wherever you are on this planet, I love you. She's my human angel. I've only seen her once. But we have a 17-year friendship.
Yeah.
So you got to create your family, create the angels in your life, get off your tushy and quit feeling sorry for yourself and go and volunteer, do something, and God will show you what your purpose is. But you got to have hope, and you got to have that faith.
Yes.
Because hope is faith. It's the things that people hope for and the evidence of things not seen. But you will see it. Because God promises that. And David, we have five.
I know.
We have
but
five
real
minutes.
Quick, here's the thing. You know, people would say it's a miracle, it's a miracle, it's a miracle.
Yes.
Okay. What is truly a miracle? Yes. It's only a miracle if you can make it happen.
Yes.
Think about that for you just one second. If it's something that I can go do, Carolyn, if I can just go ahead and buy myself this or buy myself that or whatever, then it wasn't a miracle.
Right.
Then it's man-made.
Yes.
The cool thing about my story, and I mean cool, now it's cool, because now I'm alive, so it's cool, is that nothing about it was about me.
Yes.
Everything about it was God had to intervene in such a way to bring a team of doctors. He had to, the chemo, the getting back up, the surgery, getting back up, working out, all that stuff. The strength that I had then, it's bigger than the strength that I have now. I might be bigger, meaning I gained muscle and I got, to 200 pounds or whatever, but the strength that I had then at 128 pounds when I started working out is a million times more.
Wow, that's right. I hear you.
A million times more.
Can you imagine going to the gym and you're having chemotherapy or you're having cancer and you're still working out? That's what you call a miracle, but you had the hope.
Yes.
And you had the desire, and you didn't feel sorry for yourself, but most importantly, you believe, just like I believe. I believe. David, I want to thank you.
Thank you.
We're not done. We have four minutes, but I want you now, you guys, number one, thank you for joining us today. We're going to blast this out. David and I, we love blasting things all over the world. But David, if you have one seed that you want to plant with someone, and I want people to know how to get in contact with you.
Sure.
Because David is a life coach, and I feel so blessed just to have him in my home today that we could literally minister to each other. It's a ministry to me to just be in his presence. I've heard his story over and over, but all the time I hear his story, it touches my soul, and it gives me hope to see my daddy. And David, guess what? When I do see him, you're coming with me. Okay? You're going to
be
there.
We'll be there. We'll make it happen.
Yeah.
But the law will change this year, and then after the law changes, I believe we'll be there. And I would say this, you know, my testimony specifically, I thought it was going to be about just cancer. I was going to help people go through cancer. And for the last 10 years, God's used me in women's ministry, in children's ministry. I'm launching a Women Empowering Seminar series starting in March. This has been a prayer of mine. God's placed women in my life that have gone through so much abuse and so many insecurities about body imaging and drugs and anorexia and bulimia that I felt a calling to start these seminars to empower women in terms of believing in themselves and their value and their self-worth.
Mm-hmm.
So going through that, when it just looks like it's impossible, I just say to people, trust God.
Yeah.
Give God a chance. Instead of giving other things a chance, we give a lot of other stuff chances, you know, from drugs to alcohol to other things that we give them chances. Just trust God and give God a chance. Just give him that one opportunity. Cry out to God and say, okay, God, show me.
Yeah.
Where are you? Are you here?
Yeah.
If you're here, why am I here?
Right.
Start asking those questions. And I truly believe, just like my life has become, you will find your purpose through those pains. You will find your purpose through every challenge that you have in your life.
Yeah.
So finding hope, you know, is also you making the choice to look for knowledge.
Yeah.
You know, look for wisdom. And I believe that God will place people in your life to do that.
Yes.
You know, if it's not me, or if it's not a pastor, if it's not a motivational speaker, if it's not, then it could be your best friend, it could be somebody. But look for people that have gone through what you've gone through.
Yes.
And little by little, start listening, and maybe you'll hear one thing.
Yes.
You know, I spoke at a funeral the last 2 months, and I'm like, the last person I ever thought to be speaking at a funeral was me.
Mm-hmm.
Not about my family, but people that I met. And when I'm there, I'm looking at loss. But the thing that God shows me is not the death. He shows me a celebration of that person now living without pain, that person now living without worry, and it's a celebration. But the other thing I look at is a celebration of how many people, the two people that I went to their funeral in the last couple of months, they touched. How many people, their lives have touched.
Yeah.
And that to me is like, I look at that, I said, okay, I'm still alive. How many people can I touch?
Yeah.
Through my day.
How can people get a hold of you?
If you use David Octavio Gandel, Instagram, Facebook, anything is David Octavio Gandel. My work number, you can call me here, is 786-520-5433. 786-520-LIFE-5433. You can call me there. As my voicemail will come up, and I will get back to you within 48 hours. But I just want to say thank you. God bless you. You're an angel in my life. You know, God's using you. He already used you already starting off the year in my life.
Yeah.
You know, and we're now shopping the book to finish publishing.
Yes.
Carolyn A. Brent, Across All Ages.
Yay!
It's a blessing to be with you today, and we look forward to doing more of these shows with you guys. God bless you.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye. Yeah, now I save it, but... And now I save it to the hard drive. Oh. I have enough memory.
Okay.
Those are all the people that logged in.
Wow. Okay, let me go and turn off.